We were talking yesterday about, atmosphere changes, microphones change. We'll just live with that. We were talking yesterday, Rachel talks about how her taste buds have matured. She speaks with great pride how she now eats broccoli and cabbage. And, our hunger matures too, our hunger for the Lord. When we are little children, we want to be grown up. And then we get grown up and we'd like to be little children. there's those little things, you know, we tell children, don't get in a hurry. And then later on, maybe they acknowledge, I shouldn't have gotten in a hurry. Because, you know, we become big kids and welcome to the real world type things, you know. But there are things that we do by choice. Scripture tells us to become as little children. To have that kind of faith, that kind of hunger for God. To recognize the benefits of that hunger. You see, that's the thing that God gave us, and they weren't just passing hints about it. God said very clearly, taste and see that the Lord is good. So he was telling us very clearly that, you know, you need to understand that the Lord is good. Now, many people refuse to even acknowledge that what we're celebrating today is for real. You know, they choose to try to believe there is no God, and yet the Bible's very clear that all of creation tells us there's a God. But they want to deny that. And they really can't, but they try. And then they work even harder and harder at denying it. And why would you work so hard at denying something that can make you feel better and then complain that you don't feel good? So we have those oxymorons that go on in people's thinking and in their lives. And God just simply said, listen, taste and see that the Lord is good. He said, here's something you really need to do. Get understanding. Get understanding. Don't ever think that you have all the understanding. Anything that I've ever thought that I sort of understood, I realized that I only understood in part, because there's so much more to the understanding. There's things that block our understanding, thought processes that we've inherited, traditions that we've picked up, believed lies that weren't malicious lies, but just were the best understanding that the people had at the time. And this week, as I was meditating, I was considering this week, you know? I mean, it's like, okay, Lord, this is the week that you triumphantly entered the city. This is the week that you had the Last Supper with the guys. This is the week that you were crucified. And you know, I mean, and I say this, and I've said it before, and I want to just say it, that if we get so caught up in the crucifixion and we don't get carried away by the resurrection, we don't understand. And I don't say this lightly, but let's face it, Jesus had a bad day. It was a bad day. It was a terrible day. But it was a day. A night and a day. Have you had a bad day? A bad night? If you've ever been sick, you've had a bad day. Now, ours doesn't compare to his, but if we just dwell on our bad day, what's the next day going to be like? Oh, man, yesterday was a terrible day. Okay, yesterday was a terrible day. How about today? You know, and by Friday, people are staying. Monday was just the worst day. And here comes another Monday. I always get a kick out of that. People say, well, it's Monday. I'm going, do you really plan for 52 bad days a year? But the thing is that if we only focus on what's not good, on what we don't have. If you're driving down the road in your car and you aren't really thinking too much until somebody drives by in a car that's a lot nicer than yours, and all you can think about is, man, I wish I had that car. John was telling me that when they were traveling, that their host provided them with a vehicle that would blend in, and it made it a lot better. They didn't have a brand new shiny rental car that would cause people to want to break into it. They had a local vehicle that just looked like everybody else's, and it helped. And, you know, I don't think that because they had understanding, they didn't ride along with Vicky saying, John, why do we have to ride in a piece of junk? Why can't have we a nice shiny car like the rest of the tourists? And if she did, John kindly explained to her, honey, this is a lot better. You know, we won't get, you know, hijacked. Nobody will throw us out of our car at gunpoint and take our car. We'll be in good shape. You know? And to understand, to have understanding. God said, you know, get understanding. So while I was thinking about this, I suddenly got this picture in my mind that came with understanding, and it just thrilled me. It was a download from God, but it was a picture of Jesus getting off the cross that they crucified him on, picking it up like a hammer that a carpenter would use, and just marching off to do his business. Just marching off. And you see that hammer of a cross, my first thought was, you know, like a giant pick. You think about a pick that'll dig holes and stuff. But then I realized, no, it's not a pointed ended thing that just pierces. It's a flat edge that smashes. And the Bible says that Jesus destroyed the works of the enemy. This was the reason that he came. And so I got that picture of Jesus, you know, and that cross that was a burden to bear when he was walking up there was now a weapon of warfare. And then when I look at the scripture that says, and Jesus went into hell and led captivity captive, and I think of him going down there with the cross and going, you thought you won. Whap! And then as that picture came and I was thrilled with that, now then God says, pick up your cross. Oh, wow. Because you see, all the time when you hear about, when I've ever heard before about the cross, it's like the scripture says, if you don't pick up your cross, you're not worthy to follow me. And it's always been, you know, we all have our burden to bear. Well, that never sat real good with me because my Bible says that Jesus bore our burdens. And so, since I really believe that God speaks to us and God shows us things, I looked at that and I said, now that makes perfect sense. If I pick up the cross the way that Jesus picked it up when he rose from the grave, that turns me into a warrior. Now, my favorite, I do believe my absolute favorite cartoon character as a child was Thor. Thor, who had that mighty hammer. And man, when he hit that hammer down, it would split the earth. Any of you don't know who Thor was, get an old comic book, okay? But I mean, he was maxed out in muscle. He had the built bod, man. He had ripples in his ripples. He had a 12-pack, not a 6-pack. He had the definition that the bodybuilders wish they had, and he had that hammer, and I mean to tell you, nobody else could pick it up, but he could smack anything with it. Now, I don't know about you, but I tie a bunch of stuff together when my mind starts to wander, okay? But it all just makes perfect sense to me. Pick that thing up the way that Jesus picked his up, and now you're going to be able to follow me. Now you're going to be able to go where I lead you. Now you're going to be do what I've called you to do, because you are not going to be weak. You are not going to be helpless. You got a weapon, boy. You have a weapon. A weapon that cannot be dealt with. The enemy cannot overcome that weapon. The enemy can't rob you when you're wielding that weapon, because you're not just going to tap him and chase him away. When you hit him with that, you smash him. And if he gets up, you can smash him again, because you've got something to smash him with. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, to casting down imaginations. And you get those things, you get those thoughts that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, and you put those into captivity, and now you're ready to smash anything that comes against you. And when you look at the thought, if you pick up that thought, okay, here's Jesus. Jesus is walking to the mountain. Only one account out of four accounts. Three of them have Simon carrying the cross. John says he carried it himself. We know he was dragging it somewhere. That's what's, you know. And so he carried that because we were all on it. It was a heavy critter. And they put him on that cross. And they crucified him. And he died. His body died. You know, he never died, don't you? His body died. And when they took him down off that cross, if you can open the eyes of your understanding, you can see him marching off with that cross to do business. Gonna do some business. We used to laugh because James did business with badgers with a hammer. Or a bat. I don't know about you. I ran over a badger once with my old paint pickup. And all that badger did was get mad. I mean, I ran over him and he just stood up and hissed at me. And I thought, ooh, I ain't going to get out and go after him. I didn't have anything. You know, I had these imaginations of, you know, treating him like a muskrat and kicking him around. Oh, no. I stayed in my pickup, rolled up the windows, you know. I was brave. I chased him to a hole, but I mean, it was like there was nothing like that, you know. Well, we need to get over the idea that God's given us something to, you know, to tap the enemy with. That, you know, just stay away. He gave us something to smash the enemy with. To rise up. Arise and shine, for the light is come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Can you get that picture that you've got a cross that you're wielding and yielding? You're not bearing it. But so often that's what we have, that feeling of, oh, it's just another thing I've got to bear. This is another thing that God has given me to bear. And if we encourage people, boy, you're just going to have to bear things. Where's the victory in that? Where's the thing about the understanding of that that makes everything all better? How does that fit when something happens and somebody says, well, we don't know why God did this to you? If we have understanding, we say, well, God didn't do it. He isn't the author of evil. He isn't the author of problems. Jesus said, here, pick up your cross, go after them. He said, because of what I have done, greater things than these will you do. Jake, if you go to a work site and you're the only one there and just you and your hammer, you know, you might be hammering a little bit and then you're looking, wondering where the rest of the guys are. But you work all day and you come home and you say, nobody else showed up. I got as much done as I could, but man, alive, I just seemed like no progress at all because I was the only one there with a hammer. And the next day, everybody shows up. And what he worked all day to accomplish, they accomplished five times as much because everybody's working. He put together one wall and got ready to stand up, but it was too big to stand up, so he had to wait for other people to come and help. And the next day, everybody comes and the rafters are on by the time they're done. Because there's more people wielding the hammer. Jesus said, I'm giving you all a hammer. Go wield it. Smash the power of the enemy. You don't have to put up with that. You're not hitting him with a little pointy thing to poke him and make him mad. You know, sometimes that's what happens. Christians think, oh man, don't talk about the devil. You'll make him mad. I have to tell a story on Rachel. Rachel comes sometimes and she flexes. Says she's working on her guns, you know. Yesterday we walked by each other and I grabbed her arm and just kind of pulled her a little bit and said, oh man, if I'd have wanted to, you'd have been flopped on the floor. I just laughed. 25, 30 years? Maybe. But not today. You know? Hey, I even give Forrest a run for it if I had to. So don't you mess with my little girl. But you know, I mean, God's given us the weapons of our warfare that are weapons to win, weapons to heal, weapons to deliver, weapons to empower. He's given us something powerful. And when I picture him picking up that cross the second time, it ain't weighing him down. Because we're all off of it now. And the only thing it is now is an instrument of warfare. It's a tool that he can defeat with. And he said, if two or more of you agree. What a joy to be worshiping today. And I see these little kids with kids. And I can still picture you guys sitting there, and now I see the little kids that look like you, and I'm going, wow, you know, this is just amazing. And I'm thinking, and so I got my eyes closed and I'm worshiping and I'm remembering a whole troop of little kids running around here, victory marching and shouting and yelling and running, you know, and the whole idea was not only to praise God, but let you get worn out We don't want the adults to do that because they'll fall asleep if they get worn out. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And the Lord gives us understanding, and he provides us understanding, and he gives us a taste. And Vicky comes up and says, listen, all you got to do is get hungry. Open your mouth and I will fill it, the Lord says. And then the Lord gives us a little picture. It's not a little picture, it's a giant picture. But it's a picture that when you pick up your cross, you're not picking up a burden and being weighed down and being oppressed and being depressed, and it's more than you can handle. He's given you a picture of a hammer. He's given you something to defeat the enemy. He's given you something to overcome those things that come against you so that when a bad day tries to attack you, you can smack it and say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So that you are an overcomer and that you're not overcome. That's why Christ Jesus came into the world. He came to destroy the works of the enemy and to make us overcomers. You have been made more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens you. This is what you've been made, and here's what you do it with. You have a weapon to yield. You got confidence. You know, my wife has one of those little bitty hammers that she uses to hit little bitty things into the wall, and it's okay like to maybe put the lid on a paint can or something, you know. But I wouldn't want to drive a big nail with it. I got a cribbing axe that really goes after things. I mean, it's a sweet tool. You can really hit things. But if you miss, you can really hurt things. Now, I've done both things. And it wasn't ever anybody but me that got hurt. But it will do some damage. And the cross of Jesus Christ was intended to do damage to the enemy. So when you think about picking up your cross, when you think about the scripture saying, you know, if you don't pick up your cross, rather than you're not worthy to follow me, look at it like you won't be able to follow me. You won't be able to accomplish the things and walk the paths that I have chosen for you. But with that, you can walk any path and defeat any enemy. You can break down every stronghold because that baby is indestructible. You cannot lose if you wield the power that was released to you through the cross of Jesus Christ. And if we will seek the Lord, and if we will hunger for the Lord, we will get understanding, and we will begin to allow that little glimpse of glory to begin to grow up, and we will say, yeah. You know, it's funny that cross is perfect fit for everyone. When I played baseball as a kid, I used to use a Nelson Fox 32-inch. I should have been using a 30-inch. I think I could have swung it better, but 32 was such a better weapon. You know, just had to get it on the ball. But what the Lord has given us is the perfect instrument, and it fits perfect, and it's perfectly weighed and perfectly tuned. It's like nowadays they show the things of the golf clubs and how they fine-tune them for each person, and some of them maybe have a little knobs on them to do the angles, and I don't know anything about it, but I watch it. And I think, wow, I might have been able to golf if they'd had those back when I was younger, before I decided that golf would never be my game. But I do know this, that the cross that Jesus has given us to pick up is a perfect fit for every one of us. It's perfectly weighted to be swung the best for us. And it doesn't make any difference if your cross weighs 500 pounds or if it weighs 5 pounds. It's what's on the head of that cross that does the damage. It's a power weapon. And to each one of us has been given that. To walk mighty and to be mighty through God to the destruction of the enemy. So consider that. Meditate on these things the Bible says. I can't begin really to express in words what I've begun to understand in my spirit, but there's so many things that the Lord is downloading. It's a thing like I haven't done it yet, but it'd be like getting a new smartphone. There's a learning curve, you know? And God puts these things in our hearts, and then we begin to meditate on them, and we begin to consider them, and we think, well, this might be a good place to try that cross out. And every time we try it out, we find out, wow, there's more to this than I understand. Lord, give me understanding. And so we get more understanding, we get more understanding, we get more understanding, and we become mighty through God as the strongholds fall away. And we begin to understand the joy of the Lord. We begin to understand the victory that is in Jesus. We begin to be determined that, man, I get up in the morning, I gotta have me a meal. I gotta hear something from God. Until I hear something from God, I'm just not gonna be able to breathe right. My heart's not gonna work right. My lungs aren't gonna work right. You know, my hair's gonna fall out. If I don't get another word from God, that's reason enough for me to quit. You know, get that word from God, because it doesn't really matter if it falls out. The other night I had a young girl ask me, how come all you old guys, your hair is clear back here? I looked and I thought she was talking to me, you know. I said, I'm not old, but these things happen. Good things will happen, folks. Good things will happen. The Lord said, I've come that you can have life. He didn't come to put a burden on us that we couldn't bear. He came to give us a weapon that would make us more than conquerors. He has no desire whatsoever for you to walk around bent over with the burdens that the world gives. He wants you to remember that you've got everything that you need to arise and shine, because the light has come upon you and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And you have. You are more than a conqueror. Carry your weapon and watch and see if you don't have the victory. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We thank you for the cross that you bore and for the weapon that you handed to us. Let this be a glorious and great day in every one of our lives. A day when we became hungrier because everything tasted a little better, knowing that it's seasoned with the salt of the victory that is in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.